Hey, Starting Nine listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard seltzer beverage company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to Starting Nine, episode 79, live from Arizona. What's this place called?
This is Boondocks. We're at the Boondocks on the patio.
In Scottsdale, Arizona, which, by the way, you know, we kept talking about, like, oh, you know, we're going to Arizona. It's going to be sunny. It is fucking freezing.
It's fucking snowing, Carabas.
It literally was snowing.
It doesn't snow in Scottsdale. Who in the fuck is playing this dirty trick on me? Mother Nature is a soulless bitch,
yeah.
And she's making me pay for it right now. I'm not a fan.
No.
I pumped it up.
No.
I told you what to expect.
Yeah.
And you had to bring an umbrella for the first fucking week.
Literally, today we're recording this on Saturday.
I apologize.
We're recording this on Saturday, and this was the first day that we saw the sun. Every other day, it's been 45 degrees, rainy, windy, cold, miserable.
Unfit baseball weather.
Yeah, it's been New England weather. It's been April New England weather in Arizona this entire time. I'm not going to complain, though, because we've done a lot of things this week.
We've gotten it in.
Yeah.
We've gotten it in. You would think that rainy weather, RV,
yeah,
nobody playing baseball would put a damper on a spring training tour.
Yeah.
One would think.
One would think that.
You're
however,
not fucking wrong, folks.
Yeah, so we've been in the Barstool RV all week. The Spikes Up Tour is what we've been calling it. We've been doing live ABs. We've been challenging the public. We've been challenging ourselves.
Kind of unfair.
No one has gotten a hit yet.
Nope.
Which I feel like if we were to be a betting podcast,
yep,
there's a 0% chance that anyone is going to get a hit off of either you or myself.
It's not happening, and I would even go as far as to say you could predict a 0.00 ERA
combined
for the Starting Nine staff.
Yeah, this bullpen, we don't fuck around.
No. The starters bullpen have been getting it done. The back end of the bullpen has been the nail in the coffin that we all suspected it,
yeah,
to be.
It's been bad news for these hitters out here. I honestly think it's going to get worse in Florida, because the more that we post these videos of us facing the grounds crew in the batter's box,
mm-hmm,
they're going to be like, oh, well, I can do that.
Expectations are there.
They're going to step into the box with their false bravado.
Disappointment.
And it's going to end exactly the same as it always does for everyone.
I'm going to say this. We've ran into a couple of bachelor parties. We ran in to some bachelorette parties.
Yeah.
I would advise strongly,
yeah,
against featuring yourself. If you fancy yourself an alpha,
yeah,
don't step.
Just don't do it.
You don't want this smoke.
It's kind of like,
she loves you right now. She's going to fucking hate you after she sees you get undressed by,
yeah,
the S9 boys.
Put it this way. How do you like this analogy? It's kind of like when you go to the carnival and you always have that macho dude who wants to use the hammer to make it the bell go off. Only this particular contest is hitting the hammer, making the bell go up to, like, fucking heaven.
Not
it's
happening.
Impossible.
Don't do it.
You could be the strongest guy on the face of the earth. You're not going to get to ring the bell. You could be the best hitter on planet Earth, or at least in your mind. You're not going to ring that bell.
Don't sign up for losing battles is really what we're getting at.
So a week from Sunday, March 3rd through the 10th, we will be down in Florida. I believe we will be going camp to camp to camp, which will not be as easy as it has been in Arizona, where all these camps are like 15, 20, 30 minutes apart. We're going to be in Florida. We're going to be roughing it. We're going to be on the roads. It's going to be four-hour fucking drives going camp to camp.
Think about this. You, today, for the first time in your life,
yeah,
in Arizona, spring training, Spikes Up Tour, featured two baseball games in one single day. Two games, one day. We were able to see four teams in a matter of 30 minutes.
Yeah.
What do you... I want to get your honest opinion on what that was like, because it's not that that's not undoable in other,
yeah,
areas,
sure,
but to be able to actually go through that,
yeah,
walking into a gate, walking out of a gate, walking into a gate, you saw four teams. We saw Chris Bryant drop dick, Corey,
yeah,
drop dick. We saw the A's take away. We saw a good day of baseball.
It was, that's honestly the first time that I've ever done something like that in my entire life. You know, we go, we walk through, we see Cubs, Brewers, We sit there for about three innings, hop on the RV. Next thing you know, we're seeing A's White Sox. That, as a baseball fan, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. And I gotta say this. I got to take the time because I got love for the Grande Gato, El Big Cat, as we know him and love him.
Yep.
There was a Yabo sighting, a Yabo shirt sighting. He came up, Cubs fans. We got to thank you. I'm going to take the time right now to thank you personally for reaching out, supporting the S9 boys the way you have, because it was like being welcomed in to a home game out there at Sloan Park.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing way to show up and show out, Cubs fans.
Yeah, this was it was a hell of an experience. Well, by the way, we haven't pimped out our guests, plural, yet.
Plural.
On today's episode.
Two of them.
So here's the deal. We talked about this on the vlog, by the way. Go check out the vlog. It's on BarstoolSports.com. We had a vlog every single day in this week in Arizona. But here's the deal. We went to Indians camp. We didn't name any names.
Nope.
But we went there,
For
Player X. Player X did not show up.
Schedule.
However, Trevor Bauer, Mike Clevenger,
Clev,
showed up on the Barstool bus.
Clev and Trev.
And I gotta get out in front of this, Dallas, because we will be airing this interview.
Yep.
I gotta get out in front of this. My guy right here is gonna give me a beer, though.
Oh yeah. BL smoothies.
Listen, hey, come here. To the Red Sox winning the 2018 and 19 World Series championship.
That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but they will, though. So what happened there was, they walk in, and like I said, we were waiting for someone else. Because Clev, he's been on the podcast before.
Has.
Trevor Bauer, I had no clue how he felt about Barstool. So when they walk in, I'm thinking to myself, oh, Clev is probably just saying hi. He's probably going to introduce Trevor Bauer to us. And then we start talking shop. There's no one is holding a microphone.
No.
These are just, we have Josh and Lofty. They're
grinding.
Our road boys here. And they were filming it. And I was just... I was captivated by the conversation, so I didn't really say much. / did not know that was really an interview. It became the interview, like what you're about to listen to with Trevor Bauer and Mike Clevenger. It's mostly Dallas Braden, because I was just sitting there with my eyes wide open, being like, "This is fucking awesome! Like, this conversation is extremely interesting." And I just let them do their thing, and then I was waiting. I was like, "When are we gonna sit down and like do the interview?" And then it just got to the point where, like, "All right, man, we'll see you later." Like, what the fuck?
Well, it was like an hour and a half of just chopping it up with two of the game's best. And we were talking about Cy Young candidates sitting in the RV, breaking shit down for us on another level. And I know what you're saying. You kind of like, yeah, sure, the fly on the wall, but you, I mean, I was captivated. Yeah. I was taken back. Anytime you get guys like Trev, like Clev, that are going to divulge information, give you insights to what makes them grind, what makes them tick, you're all ears. All ears. So I was just trying to merely put it on a tee for the boys and watch them continue to drop dick, which is what they did.
Right. So we're also we're going to be launching our Barstool Baseball YouTube channel. It's not necessarily a starting nine channel, because I'm sure Hubs is going to be doing some stuff.
That's right.
I'm sure the Chicago boys are going to be doing some stuff. Any Barstool baseball-related content, interviews, whatever, we're going to be putting that on the YouTube channel. And that means that every interview that we conduct here on the Spikes Up Tour will live on the YouTube page.
So you said the White Sox guys are too. So the YouTube channel is really, I guess, for mice and men.
Yeah, yes. I would say that that's a fair assessment. So you will have all of that content that you're about to listen to on the podcast. It'll be released after the podcast comes out. Then you can then go to the YouTube page to watch these interviews that we've conducted. Before we get into any of that, the big news of the week, Manny Machado. 10 years, $300 million. He's going to the San Diego Padres. This surprised me a little bit, but then when you kind of step back, you're like, well, that makes sense.
Chicken titties! We knew!
You knew. I don't think that... we went through different phases, right?
We
take yourself back to the first week of the offseason. Where did you have him? Because it was not the Padres.
No, it was the Yankees. And I remember even stating that I had received multiple lines of communication from a very strong source, sort of laying out that it really was just a matter of happenstance. It's a matter of the years getting figured out, which when I look back at it now, when you think about the length of the contract, 10 years, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because we're in a situation where you've got an open you've got an open checkbook with cash.
Correct.
And cash ain't fucking around.
Nope.
When he identifies you, he puts a target on you, and he usually is going to bed with you.
Correct.
That's kind of how that goes down.
Yeah.
So when I was getting that, message, I'm thinking to myself, it's a foregone conclusion at this point. So obviously, I think what we saw happen is there was a breakdown in years, compensation. Obviously, that's kind of how that stuff goes. And he eventually winds up in San Diego. But for me, early on, I had him in pinstripes, and there was really no other place for him to go in my head.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to be honest with ourselves here, I'm pretty sure we signed off one of our podcasts in either November or December being like, what's the holdup? Like, right. I don't even know why we're discussing potential suitors.
Pull the trigger.
He's going to the Yankees. What are we waiting for? Just tell us the years and the dollars. He's going to the Bronx. It's a good fit. They're coming off a year that they just won 100 games and were eliminated in the first round. That's what the Yankees do. When they have a disappointing finish to their season, it's always a monster splash that they respond to that with. And all due respect to the guys that they brought in, but it's like James Paxton, yeah, that's a name. That's a guy.
That's a guy. It's a dude.
That's a guy, but he's not a guy. Like, you wouldn't put him in the top 10 pitchers in the league.
I don't know that I'd put him in the top 10. Carrabba's, come on, that's a lefty that has
started. Is he an ace? Is he an ace of that staff? No, it's Severino.
Well, it's Seve. It's absolutely Seve. Okay. Obviously, Seve's
deal. I'm not trying to knock Paxton. Paxton is a guy.
He's left-handed. You know that's going to do.
He's got the lefty. But he's not a 30-start guy. He's not a 200-inning guy. He's not taking the ball in game one of a postseason series. Maybe I spoke too soon there because we did see Severino fade in the second half last year. I don't particularly know who's going to take the ball. It could end up being Paxton. I don't know.
Look, now that we're talking about Paxton, I want to say this.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, he's an individual who, with all of the things that come with New York, all of the things that come with the pinstripes and the Big Apple, just maybe that's what he needs to put him over the edge in terms of not being that 30-star guy, because he's been hampered by injuries.
Yeah.
He's had some bad luck. I mean, you take it back to last year. I forget who it was off the top of my head. I think it was Mark Canha, actually, that hit a ball about 143,000 miles an hour. Oh, Canna's sneaky jacked.
Yeah, no, there's nothing sneaky about it. When I was sitting behind the home plate, I was like, this dude fucks.
Big foodie guy.
Yeah.
Loves the food as well.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking bad luck for the lefty. Maybe he finds his way in the Big Apple. Maybe not having to be the guy, or the feeling of growing into being that guy, is what allows him. Because, like you said, astutely pointed out, Severino is shouldering that load.
He sure is. And speaking of loads, CC Sabathia, they also brought him back as well. So that you have him, you have Gardner, you bring back Half. They brought back some guys. But, I would still say that of the names that the Yankees got inked to paper on, there was no, like, holy fuck. Like, there was Giancarlo Stanton last year, and then after that, it's like, okay, we're waiting for that move. We're waiting for Manny Machado. Could they surprise us with the Bryce Harper? The answer to the question is it's going to be neither, Dallas. Do you see the Yankees now being like, oh, well, I don't even think that you can say that they missed out on Manny Machado. They just didn't fucking want him bad enough.
I will agree with that, but that's –
It's not like they put in an honest effort and they were like, fuck. Like, we thought we made the best offer and we missed out. Like, it just didn't happen that way.
But part of me thinks that maybe it's Cash making those moves and making those phone calls behind closed doors, and he never got to a point where he thought he could go public. Kind of like, you know, hey, I'll call you at 2:30, and if you answer, I will absolutely send the Uber over, and I will put you in the Uber on the way back home. But until I get what I need out of you, we're not holding hands, and I'm not taking you to the movies, and it's just not going to be a thing.
All right, so can I put you in the mind of a Yankee fan? Yankees miss out on Manny Machado. How are you feeling about that? Are you like, well, we have Andujar, and, you know, could have been the rookie of the year had not Shohei Ohtani showed up and did what he did? But if you're a Yankee fan, are you saying, what the fuck? Why we could have traded Andujar for a starting pitcher in addition to a James Paxton and have a stud third baseman for the next decade in Manny Machado? Are you just like, you know, we won 100 games last year, and I feel like we still have a good team going into 2019?
I can see it being a little lit up because DD, right? Like, he's not going to be there early. You're thinking, look, we've got an opportunity.
Well, hold on. Because we also interviewed Kyle Freeland last night, so you'll get that interview at some point. And we did a little bit of talking about DJ LeMahieu.
Oof.
And that's a guy that when we were talking about the Yankees offseason moves, we forgot to mention DJ LeMahieu. Don't sleep on this fucking guy.
Not at all.
DJ LeMahieu could fight his way into the lineup. He should. He's a fucking stud.
He's a stick.
Yes. So, but you also have, you got Glaber. You have, you know, a situation where Didi's going to be coming back. You have Andujar. You have Tulowitzki in the mix. There's bodies that you're there. It's going to be a nice, it's a nice problem to have if you're the Yankees.
There's no doubt about that. I think the Yankees, they want to be able to move on because they always want to feel like they're the franchise who didn't miss out on a guy that has the answer to those things. So I think you have to mentally shift gears if you're in that clubhouse and say, though we might have missed out on a generational type talent that we could build around, we're the fucking Yankees, boys. And that's kind of the mindset that I think has to permeate throughout that clubhouse when you don't land one of the two most sought-after free agent talents to hit the market in God knows how long.
Yeah, so the Yankees, they quote-unquote miss out on Manny Machado, but it's not really a big deal for them. They're still going to be great in 2019. The Chicago White Sox, they missed out on Manny Machado. I mean, they literally could not have gone harder for this guy.
Carrabba's.
I mean, they signed his fucking best friend.
They signed the guy,
his brother-in-law. They signed his mailman.
They signed his mom. Dog walker. They tried to sign anybody and everybody who's ever been to a White Sox game Machado.
I have never seen a more persistent, a more dedicated, a more involved pursuit of a free agent than what the Chicago White Sox did for Manny Machado. And at the end of the day, he's not heading to the south side.
They literally not tried. They signed lineage.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah.
And it didn't make. So we had the opportunity to sit down with one Lucas Giolito.
Oh, yeah.
And big fan.
Stud.
Massive fan of this guy.
Stud.
And he echoed exactly not only what I expected to hear, but what I wanted to hear out of this group, which was, you know what? We're able to shift gears from that. Sure, we understand what that would have done for us. We think our time is now as well. We think we are at a point where we can grow, where we can compete. Everybody's kind of coming into their own. So I think the Chicago White Sox, though they do not have Manny Machado checking into camp with them out here in Arizona, what they do have is a group of young guys that I think Tim Anderson's a guy that I think about that are ready to take that next step. And I watched this happen in Oakland.
Yep.
All of them collectively taking that next step could be dangerous in the AL Central, in a division that hasn't necessarily been strong
enough.
Competitive.
No. It's been the Indians division for quite some time now. Perhaps the White Sox, like you said, you got a lot of guys that could take that collective leap together. And I love the attitude that the White Sox are going with. I think it was Tim Anderson was like, you know, get on board or get rolled over or something like that.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, like, you should not be in that organization thinking to yourself, fuck, you know, like, we were right there. We were about to get Manny Machado. Now we don't. Now we have no shot. Those guys believe in themselves. There's a ton of talent. There's even more talent coming on the way. Eloy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wait till fucking Eloy gets up there. The White Sox are about to be scary. Would it have helped? Yeah. Yeah, it would have helped. But, no. Manny Machado is heading to the West Coast. He's staying in the West Coast because that was a great stat. Manny Machado was a free agent longer than he was a Dodger.
Oh,
hate to see that.
That's
but he is going to the San Diego Padres. And here's the thing. I might have mocked it a little bit, being like, oh, yeah, you're going. Would you rather be on the south side of Chicago or would you rather be in San Diego for the next decade? He does have an opt-out after that fifth year. However, it's not like he's going to a Padres team that's a joke.
No.
He might – Manny Machado very well may be the last piece that completes a team that has an argument for one of the best infields in Major League Baseball.
And what Manny – look, and I said this, and I am the one who tends to lean on these types of things and talk about these types of things because I feel the value of them and I have felt the value of them. Sure. And our boy Jay Hay. We
Shout
love
out Jay Hay.
Shouts
we
to
miss
Jay
you, Jay Hay.
Need you out here.
Close
to the bosom. But not a big fan of Hosmer. He's not a Hosmer guy, and I understand it. I get it. But when I see...
Well, I mean, that contract was an abomination. I think you know, Manny Machado is the type of guy where, you know, say what you want about his character, but we've all, like, I feel like we are a society that likes to dwell on the negative.
Yes.
And every time that, and the other thing too, we see the negative.
Oh, yeah.
As baseball fans, we see the quote about the hustling. We see him spiking guys, so we hang on to the negative. But a lot of what I've seen, teammates of his, former teammates of his going out and be like, fucking love this guy. Great teammate. And guys that have actually played alongside him. I've never heard a bad thing about it.
Well, it's all perception, and we see things from the outside. You know, you hear rumblings or whatever. You're talking to guys. They have opinions, and that can all be very convoluted based on where we're at in the season. Maybe they just rolled through town and they got a negative. I understand all of that.
Yep.
When I think about Manny Machado signing with the San Diego Padres,
yep,
and I think about the fact that Eric Hosmer was identified as a culture type guy, that was part of the acquisition for me. Was not only is Manny going to be the athlete he has been up until this point,
yeah,
but maybe they know something that a lot of other people don't,
yeah,
about Manny and his ability to grow some of these young guys that are going to be around him, because he's going to be taking infield and he's going to be in the cage with these guys,
yep,
who have represented one of the strongest farm systems in baseball in the San Diego Padres. And those boys are growing into men, and they are arriving. They,
yeah,
are showing up. They are here. So you hear conversations about they're just going to be holding places. These boys are coming. Tatis, these boys are coming.
Yeah, they are coming.
Oh, yeah. It's a culture thing.
They're coming for that ass. In this line of work, Dallas, you can obviously attest to this. With the social media era, you're going to get a lot of questions. People get excited about baseball all around the clock, all months of the year. Questions that you field in November, there's really no point in answering them in November because you're going to sound like an asshole,
oh, yeah,
by February. Because I remember certain people being like, you know, back in November, do you think that Machado's comments during the World Series and, you know, his behavior in the playoffs and his performance in the World Series, do you think that's going to cost him in free agency? $300 million.
Didn't cost him.
Didn't cost him at all.
He said this, and I said this, you said this. Look, it might not cost him in terms
I said
of
it might cost, yes, it might cost him suitors.
And
it might cost him dollars.
And that's the whole point, is the amount of money and how long they want him to play on their baseball team, that's not going to change.
No.
What will change, and what I think did change, which is why we saw the long, drawn-out process, was the amount of people who were willing to offer that relationship.
Right.
And it's not about the duration or the dollar signs. It's about actually extending that olive branch.
Right.
And when you think about February, we're after Valentine's Day is when they finally decided to make Manny Machado their Valentine.
Yeah, so there's that. He does have that opt-out after five, so we'll meet back up in half a decade and see what becomes of this. Bryce Harper still out there, and this is, you say between Harper and Machado, when one domino falls, the next one can't be too far behind. The Phillies reportedly went out to meet with Bryce Harper this week. Is it still the way that we feel about the way that we once felt about Manny Machado going to the Yankees? Is that kind of how we feel about Bryce Harper and the Phillies? Because I don't think I'm 100% there yet. I still think that the Giants are a major player.
The Giants can be a player. Farhan Zaidi, we're not really sure exactly how he's going to operate at the helm. We've seen him go to work,
yeah,
with a pocketbook with the Dodgers, and we saw what that looks like. Now he's over across the bay in San Francisco. He's got a fan base to answer to. A huge move for the Giants like this could sort of establish him as a gunslinger of sorts,
yeah,
in the front office realm. He's identified a guy, he wants to go get that guy. How much Bryce Harper helps the San Francisco Giants at this point, I'm not sure.
I mean, it's a cornerstone. It's like you have a guy there. No disrespect to a guy like Buster Posey. Obviously, Madison Bumgarner, a face of that franchise in his own right. But if you're the Giants, I think we spent a decent amount of time talking about how much money they have sunk into 2019, 2020, a bunch of dead money. You go out there and sign a Bryce Harper, you've now changed the entire narrative to where it's like, hey, guess what? We're back. We're building towards something again.
Well, that's the idea. Is it's an organization that has built itself up to prominence in a matter of a decade.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous to watch that run.
Right.
To watch. I mean, this was a team who was all but out of it. Was that 10 or 12 in September? They were 9 out.
Yeah, and then they won the wild card game.
Fucking insane!
You know, back,
get,
yeah,
your foot in the door, and it's cash money, baby.
Yeah.
So they have bells to answer. They've got voids to fill, and I don't know that Bryce takes care of it all, but sure, that's a guy that you can build around. I understand it. The Padres with Manny Machado, they have landed themselves a seat at the table.
Oh, I like this transition.
And that is exactly what the Giants are looking to do in their pursuit of Bryce Harper, is land themselves a seat at the table. But
yeah,
you want to know, Jared, how to really land yourself a seat?
Tell me.
You go to SeatGeek.
That's fucking right.
You buy tickets. You buy tickets at SeatGeek because buying tickets elsewhere can be complicated, folks. That shit's not fun. It's confusing.
Very confusing.
You've got places to go. You've got people to see. You need a one-stop shop. SeatGeek has got you covered. It's the smartest, easiest way to get tickets, like I just told you. You've got other shit to do. Every type of event. Live music, whether it's a tour, probably the Spikes Up tour, shopping, it doesn't matter. SeatGeek has got you covered. It's designed to make your ticket buying process easier than ever. It saves you time, saves you money. You're searching multiple sites. Ain't nobody got time for that shit. Come on. You want to compare prices? Find amazing deals? SeatGeek, folks, that's the way to go. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket under the sun. From sports and concerts to the Spiked Up Tour and everywhere in between, comedy, theater, doesn't matter. Push! Yes! Power of positivity. Get your iodine drops in, folks. SeatGeek can make it all happen. Best of all, our listeners, we got you $10. $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter promo code STARTING today. That's right. Promo code STARTING for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. You never know where that ass is going to land when you dial up with SeatGeek.
Yeah, speaking of asses landing places, one of the great things about that interview that we're about to go to right now with Mike Clevenger and Trevor Bauer, something that it was a really cool moment. Trevor Bauer found out Manny Machado to the Padres while he was on the RV with us.
That was awesome.
We had just wrapped the interview that I didn't know was happening, and then I take out my phone. Because, I mean, Trevor Bauer, I mean, you're about to hear, like, kind of like his witty comments and remarks that he likes to make.
Great dude. Great personality.
Yeah, he's a one of a kind. I didn't want to be the guy that was like, well, he's talking, I'm, like, looking at my phone or anything. So after we're done talking, I take out my phone, I was like, oh, fuck, Manny Machado of the Padres. So he found out, and you're about to see his reaction to one of his arch nemeses, in a good way, because he actually just posted a video on his Instagram. He kind of like gave him like a big hug, and he was like, thank God you're going to the National League. So it was a really cool moment, and something that will be on the YouTube page. You're about to listen to it right now. Mike Clevenger and Trevor Bauer of the AL Central Division champion Cleveland Indians.
Clevenger.
What's up, dude?
Good to see you, dude.
What's
up?
Trev.
Yeah,
bro. Special guest.
Yeah.
Love it.
Summoned by Clef.
Yeah. Unreal.
What's going on?
30 feet.
Worst bullpen I ever saw, he did that. We were in Puerto Rico. He was, like, being all pissy about his whole Astros thing and, like, grabbed the whole thing at Pelican West. Like, watch this bullpen. You got a fucking bullpen. He, like, scoops up, like, talking all this shit. He didn't throw a damn – he threw – it's him. He's throwing 50 pitches in a bullpen.
Yeah.
And, like, I think 50 hit the dirt out of or 60 pitches, and then 10
they
was straight.
All,
like,
they all would have been three misses. They were beating, like, 7 feet, bro. So, it was, like, straight down the middle. I'm 2 feet from the plate, just immediate.
See, I used it in the game.
You can say this.
Absolutely. I could give a shit. If you were rolling out there with my shit, you needed everybody on your side and everything on your side. But I used it. I would put it on the inside and use it for my changeup as well, so I could pull that seam down.
Because
I was a four-seam change guy, but when I would throw my screwball, that was kind of off that. But I would use that. I would use it on the inside to like almost act as another.
Yeah.
And then I was.
That's interesting because. Like, I gotta have, in order to throw my changeup, that would get side spin and depth to it, I gotta have these two slip.
Okay.
And everything else I want grip on. So, like, I gotta find a way to, like, have grip, like, licking or whatever, but then take it off.
Right,
when I want to throw a changeup without tipping that to hitters.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just like going back to the rosin bag, right? 0-2, 1-2, we know what you're doing.
I know what's coming.
Right, we've got an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, man. I feel like, so... No validity to the idea that it's helping you be safer on the mound.
Yeah, 100%. Those balls are ridiculous now.
They're cue balls.
Okay, yeah. But
they're fucking cue balls, Bauer.
He can testify. They,
I mean, we've talked about, we can talk about this.
Consecutive years, you can feel the ball getting harder and tighter. And it was more like bouncy.
So, like, you know what the ball feels like in the ninth inning, right? You're out there in the ninth inning completing a ball game. You know what that base, those baseballs feel a little different in the ninth inning. Shit starts getting fouled off. Those balls are, like, fresh out of the box.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I firmly believe that there's...
not calling out specific teams, there's a lot of teams you'll go there and you only get fresh out of the box.
Oh, sure.
Inning one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you'll watch their brown, rubbed balls get tossed out
if
there.
If the clubbies in Oakland are getting the checks I'm writing,
really?
That's probably a place that you should only be getting fresh.
No one regulates it. How crazy is that? I mean, we watch our guys throw our balls down. Like, if we, I mean, hey, go put some shit all over our balls.
I don't want to watch any guys rub your balls down. I'm out on that.
Watch guys rub my balls down all
the time. Yeah, no, but those, we just had a video, or we were just talking to these guys. They're out there rubbing the balls up, and they're like, are we still using the mud and shit? But that's something that's crazy to think about. Those balls get taken out there. Nobody's checking that.
But here's the thing, too. What if you just rub down, like, 5,000 of them,
mm-hmm.
and then you just put them in a storage, you know? And then so, like, that day, they're, like, freshly rubbed and feel one way. And the next day, they're slightly drier. And by the end of the batch, they're like, it's chalk. It's worse than the straight cue ball.
Exactly.
Because it's like, you can't...
You can't grip it.
You have to, like, rub it on the grass and, like, try to wipe this stuff off and then just to get a cue ball. You know, it's like, there's got to be a way, like, that you can just...
Yeah, like
there's some sort of sticky substance or something that you can uniformly rub all the balls with. Like, get a machine and just feed the balls through so it puts a consistent coating on them before the game or something like that.
Well, I feel like, I mean, the mix that I would do was with the bullfrog and the rosin and stuff. I mean, the resin was obviously pitch specific and stuff, but the rosin and the bullfrog, that was what I found to be the most consistent, something that would give me the tack that I needed.
Right.
Without overdoing it and just... Because you want that, because you know, you feel those balls, and you're like, oh, yeah, those.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
And that guy doesn't show up again, like, until the fucking fifth or whatever, you know, like, you don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. That's amazing how inconsistent, like, you would think that how standard the baseballs are, that they would be, like, consistent, but they're not.
And the point to where you can actually, some of them, you can physically hold them and see, I mean, you know, like, you put them in our hand, and we know, you can feel that.
This one's a little bit bigger, this one's a little smaller.
Major League Baseball, and even in the postseason, the balls aren't being regulated or watched to what you're doing with them before the postseason games?
Yeah. Oh, so I made it a point to grab balls from all the postseason games, from the Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game. Like, how about those?
Oh, my God.
Suddenly, we did the same thing.
Yeah.
Those...
Send them off to a lab to get them tested and stuff.
Oh, wow. It's like projecting, like, concrete. Like, those things are fucking wound tighter.
We got a Super Bowl at Walmart. It's about the size of a baseball. Let's just wrap in some leather, make it super tight, and let's hit it.
Boing! That's exactly what it is.
It's like the days in college when they're before they started with the BB core bats or whatever the
bees are. Oh, yes.
When you would roll the bat out and like hit it on a truck.
Run it over. We should take our trucks and run it over a little
Unbelievable,
bit.
Dude. Well, you'd hit balls and it sounded like a mortar. Boom!
Yeah,
and the ball would go like 800
just
feet.
Flatten that thing.
It's 160 pounds and ball's 450.
Yeah. You ever been to Pepperdine's field?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's right on the water.
Yep.
It's humid and it's big. Mm-hmm. And the balls just don't go anywhere. We had a guy, we were playing there, we had a guy 0-2 get fooled, ass out, one-handed, and the bat stopped because it hit the ground. Boom! Off the scoreboard, oppo.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
my God.
That's how ridiculous his bats were. And that's like, that's what the balls jump off the bats in the Home Run Derby. Are you kidding me, dude? I can hit a home run in the Home Run Derby, and I can't get a ball out of the infield.
Thoughts on, and I've always felt like this would sell a gajillion tickets. Thoughts on the Home Run Derby being used... with metal bats. Like, give these guys metal bats. No, we're going to take precautions, Carrabba.
You're
going
to have to literally put screens on this.
Yeah.
Even in the front row.
Yeah.
I've watched people hit with wood bats get blown up.
So, that's where balls are going to
go. So, do you remember the college baseball game?
Which one was that?
Fucking college World Series. I don't know.
Okay.
So like the hitting game, like where you know the ramps and shit, the targets. So let's do some of that. Throw some targets up. I want to see that, but I want to see with a metal bat. I want to see Like, could you imagine?
Or do a pitcher version with metal bats this home run derby and test the waters.
There you go. Just a dabble. Just a little toe in there. See what it's like.
Three dudes strain their oblique. They're like, all right, we're going to
probably shut that down.
Yeah, I'll give you an example, though, of how ridiculous it gets. I'm in college. I'm at UCLA. And, Giancarlo, who was then Mike, is
formerly known as artist formerly known.
Hitting in the cage. And so he's, like, spread out like this, and he's swinging with one hand. And he's just, like, working on his path, taking BP, and he's hitting seats with a wood bat, like one hopper's oppa off the wall, right? And just spread out, no stride, just, like, swinging. And it's a ridiculous display, right? And one of our guys were like, hey, like, how far do you think you could hit a ball, like, if you just swung, like, you know, normal? And he's like, and he looks out past left field. Left field's, like, 330, 340, right? And
is that Euclid?
Yeah, okay. There's the hill and the large trees that go like 40 feet, 50 feet in the air, right? And then back, right? And it's like, oh, I can hit one over the trees, no problem. And they're like, no way. He's like, all right, just give me one of your bats. I'll show you. So he gets a metal bat. Like, mind you, this is like BB Corps days.
Oh, God.
So he grabs a BB Corps bat. And
get out of the way.
And he takes a normal swing and hits a ball that just disappears. Like going up, like past the trees, just disappears. We don't know where it landed.
Like, I would legit pay money to watch that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then he just like drops it, grabs his wood bat, spreads back out, starts working on like just hitting seeds one handed off the wall that way. And that's unbelievable. Like
I can't, you cannot tell me, like, I'm paying right now to know that. Like, give me three dudes in the league that anybody would want to see take BP or hit homers with. And I'll pay you $1,000 right now just to watch. You tell me that they're out there right now with a metal bat. Here's a K. Mm-hmm. Here's a rack. Let's just go. I just want to watch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
10 minutes.
Yes, Judge, Stanton. I mean, shoot, you could take half of New York's lineup. Oh, God.
Duck when he was getting drafted.
Oh, yes, my God. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
502 or something like that when he was 16.
He's dropping.
Yeah, last year, Harper was putting balls in the third deck at National Stadium with a regular wood bat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He'd probably get him out with them.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I think about Prince Fielder at fucking 12, hammering baseballs out of the ballpark in Detroit, in Tiger Stadium, not Comerica Park.
You know who was throwing MVP in that video?
Oh, was he from Saugus?
No. It's fucking Tito.
Oh.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Huh. Little nugget there, Jay. Yeah.
This little thing put in your back pocket.
Thank you for that.
First thing you contributed to the conversation.
I'm just fucking messing. You guys are the experts.
So, with the new rules, we've
what are the new rules? First off, does anyone know?
The universal. Well, what are the options?
Know.
Yeah, universal DH. The can I take a moment right now and get on a mini soapbox about the mandatory three batter rule?
Oh yeah. How about the pitch clock? Are we going to entertain that?
Like,
no, that's the we don't even need to entertain that.
Like, we all need to.
Isn't it going on in spring training? Yes.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
We understand how that works, right? Okay. That's just. Thanks for.
So, what's your soapbox on
right? Well, no, I just.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
No, the strategy aspect of this game is becoming something. Is like they're trying to take that almost completely out of the game of baseball when they try to implement something like this. Mm-hmm. When they try to tell you how now you're going to utilize your roster. Like, we're already talking about, like, roster construction.
Right.
But now you're telling me how I can actually deploy the individuals I've been grooming, I've been trying to farm. Like, I'm invested in these guys here for how long? Like, I don't want you now telling me how I can utilize them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, hey, let's play a game of chess, but you can only move your queen one time throughout the game.
Right, yeah, no thanks.
Okay.
Exactly, like when you're able to deploy a, like we'll just use Andrew Miller type because we're all familiar with him. You're able to deploy that kind of individual at any point in time, and let's go specifically during that great postseason run. How on earth can you now look at a manager or look at a front office and go, just, you're not going to, no, we got some rules about that, how that's going to go now. So, if he comes in, he's going to have to, at least, and because I think it opens up the floodgate to now start telling me that once you've hit a minimum, like there's going to be a maximum.
Yeah. Like, you're going to, oh, sorry, if he's coming in anywhere after the eighth inning, he can't go three innings. He can only go. And it's like,
well,
it's like
really I'm confused. So, three batter minimum. So, if I say he comes out the game at six innings and a third, someone comes in and gets his last two outs. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to start the next inning. I understand that part. But say I want him to go out for one hitter, can I still send him out there? Because it's still, that would be his third hitter. Mm-hmm. Can I send him out here there for one hitter and then pull him out?
Yeah, I would have to think so. There's no, because that,
like
that
none of that was specified in either, like,
But that is the loophole. So not necessarily a loophole, but that is the fine print, or that is reading between the lines there, because now you're able to avoid that mandated three batter minimum throughout the rest of the game by getting one guy to go in and finish up the starter's mess in a third or two thirds of an inning, because from there, you've gone and run your reliever back out for one out. He's completed his third of an inning, and now you match up again, right, with your next arm to get those two guys. Exactly, and you start it again.
So that's the worst rule ever.
Yes,
it makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, there should be like a caveat though. Like if you give up a run, you should be able to take that guy out.
Yeah, if you come in, just give up the last.
Yeah.
Left on left for last.
Yeah. What if I have a start like I had in 2013 against the White Sox, where I went two thirds of an inning, gave up five, and left the bases loaded? Like, do I have to face a third hitter?
The worst. The worst. You ever given up two bombs to the same dude in a game?
Yes, Ohtani, and I can't get. Oh my god! And listen to this. I get to the field like a week later, and they're like, "Hey, you got a interview with." It's like the Japanese, like CNN, but they cover like sports and everything. It's like their main network. Okay. I can't think of the name right now. So I'm like, "Okay, cool." Go there, and the whole interview was about how now I've gone viral in Japan. Yeah. I've gone viral in Japan, and everyone thinks that like we're like nemesis now. But all they wanted to talk about was, so what's it like when he hits the ball? So what's it like when the ball's shooting up going into the stands?
You heard the blast.
Well, yeah, he asked me the same question like nine times by just getting teed off twice. And then he asked me about, you showed a lot of emotion afterwards. That's why I went viral. Second home run, you slammed the ground. I was like, I was mad. And he's like, but was it really hard to face him?
Well, the good part about this story is coming into this series, Ohtani had hit exactly zero home runs on the road. And then it's just like, bomb, 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 bomb.
The second one was a home run. That first one, it was 96 off the plate inside this much, and he hit it out that way.
Oh, it was also a home run. And when it made it over the wall and progressive, like four rows deep, that's a bomb, I think. Like 360.
Yeah, I hold the distinct honor of giving up two home runs to the same dude in the same inning.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh yeah. Wait. Didn't you get sent down after that?
Not easily. It was my birthday, Jared. Thanks for bringing that up. yeah. That was I think was that 07, 08, my rookie year. Maglio Ordóñez.
Oh.
Old Magpie.
One of the OGs of Float.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh bro. And it was and you want to talk about taking all of that in as he's rounding the bases, just his fucking curls just bouncing.
Just wet. They always looked wet.
But the first homer was, he hit, it was 3-2, and he hit it, tucked it into that little...
Oppo down the line?
Down the line. Yeah, Oppo down the line, that little cutout in Comerica.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, you son of a bitch. Yeah. Like, this is all luck at this point, and still not getting my ass handed to me quite yet, and I'm going to turn the page. It's going to be fine. Get over that. Lucky. And then fast forward, we get, it's 3-0. Fuck. 3-1. 3-2. Fuck it. I've already given up, I think, another jack. Brandon Inge has hit a ball, like, bled over my head. I almost fell off the mound trying to gather it. Didn't get him out. So we got runners on second and third, I think, and let the heater go. And Maglio shat upon it. Just a missile out to left field. And I just remember going, yeah, I'm probably going to fucking get sit down. This is not going to be good. And sure enough, the next day was my birthday.
Didn't they make you travel first?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I was not allowed down on the field. You know, the player move had happened, so
Like, I had to sit in the clubhouse and watch the game, like, off in a fucking side room on my birthday.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Super fun.
That was similar in Colorado.
Did not avoid being dressed up, though.
Colorado, I'm like, so I forgot what happened. The inning was unfolding. I was walking everybody. I couldn't breathe in Colorado. It was my rookie year. I'm going nuts. I'm somehow surviving. And then I get to the point where it's like second, third, and Tony Walters comes up, which I know very well, and I know exactly where he can't hit the ball. He was over here with us. And then Tito, I see, like, I'm turning around getting the rosin. I turn around, he's walking to first base. First off, first intentional walk of my career ends up being Tony Walters, which I didn't want anyways. So I'm like, and then Sensatella is the pitcher's on deck, so he's coming up. But I'm pretty sure on another base. He looked like a big dude coming to the plate, and he looked very country.
Right? We're gonna walk the eight hitter to catch the pitcher, obviously.
So completely I'm already have four walks, and it's like the second inning. So like, Mick comes out to talk to me. And he's like, "Hey, listen, first pitch is get ahead. They're gonna try to get you to walk this run in." So I'm like, "All right, get on the mound, 94." What? First pitch, hacking after walking everybody.
Missile in the gap.
Bases clearing triple.
Oh, my God.
I come in after that. I'm like, I'm getting sent the fuck out. Freaking out. And then he's like, you can't talk like that. Sure, I'm getting sent down.
Clips him on the bench. But, like, he's fucking pissed. Like, fucking Steamat come over there, like, obviously, like, you don't want to say anything in that moment,
right?
Because, like, this, like, we all know how it is.
Yeah, you're getting crushed.
I just, like, I sit down next to him, I'm like, just waiting, like, in case he wants to say anything or start the conversation, and he's just, like, shaking his head, just steaming. And I finally, I'm like, I gotta say something. I'm like, hey, man, he's like, I'm fucking gonna get sent down. I don't fucking belong in this bull. I fuck this.
Gave up a three-run triple to the pitcher. You strike out two All-Stars. I'm like, in my own chest, going long up.
And I'm like, you can't fucking talk like that, dude.
There's
like
a silver lining to all this, though. That's how cool Tito is. So instead of me having to go that day, we're in Colorado. My best friend just flew up to, like, be there for the weekend with me. So instead of sending me out, I got to stay in Colorado that next day and then fly out the day after and just kind of awesome. Go to the field, do my stuff, leave, spend the day in Colorado with my boy, and then fly out.
Yeah.
So it ended up being like a little silver lining, and
see?
A little peace came to my mind, and then
Tito,
turned the page.
Good you.
Yeah. Then you came back up and just shoved the next time.
That is good. You ever have a run-in with an umpire? Like a...
In the minor leagues, I've had a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about just outside the field running? Like,
no. I mean, like talk shit to an umpire, get angry with an umpire, because I was never somebody to do that, and it happened to me one time, but it was in the minor leagues, but it was with Bach and Bob Davidson.
I got into it with Joe West.
Really?
Joe.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Issue with Joe.
Yeah.
So there's a ground ball at first. I'm covering the bag. Throws a little bit up and behind me, so I jump up and catch it. I come down and I drag my toe, and like I can feel my toe hit the base, right? And the guy clearly beat the runner, and Joe's first base ump, so he's like right there, and I hit it, and I'm like I got the base, and he goes in my face, safe. And I was like, Joe, I got the base. He goes, did you? And he starts walking forward towards me like that. He's like, oh, you got the base. How are you gonna tell me how to do my job? And then Tito's like, hey, review that. And Joe like has to run over there and like. Two seconds into the review, it's like, oh, he's out? Okay. And he just walks, and he's out, and just, like, doesn't say anything. Like,
fucking Joe.
My debut was Tim Timmons behind the plate, and he came out to talk to me or something before it, like, all started. He asked me if I'm ready, and I was just like, you know, I was already puking for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, I got a hit today. Finnegan's throwing 96. Like, everything's going through my head. And he's like, so if you're ready, I'm like, yes, sir. And he's like, what the fuck did you just say to me? And I was like, yes, sir. And he's like, don't fucking sir me. You're in the big league, son. He's like, you don't fucking sir me. And I'm like, go out to the mound. I'm like, first pitch, I literally, like, I throw it, like, down the middle. And he goes, ball. And I can see him smile on his mask. I'm like, oh, my God. This is what everybody thought. Someone's going to. And he, like.
Oh, yeah.
So the next day, he's like, came up to me and smiled and gave me the lineup card. And he's like, Jeff, went out there? And I was like, yes, sir.
See, that's the cool shit about baseball. Like, you would hate to think if you, like, wow, could that pitch have affected your entire game, your entire outcome, whatever. But the brotherhood and the shit that we give each other, even on the umpire player level, like,
dude, if
what about Wolfie? Like, Wolfie and his fucking throwing his entire mix back to you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He throws a good knuckleball.
Bro, it's filthy.
And half the time he gets it, I'm like, ah.
Right, it's filthy. I like to.
After he's doing bicep curls between innings, too.
Oh, yeah, right?
He's always out there just flexing on his knees the whole time.
Super vascular. But I would, when I get the ball back from him, I would always fucking...
Like
stick it more. Yeah, absolutely.
He always looks like he's done with like a 5K.
Oh, he is great.
If fans knew like just a smidgen of like the behind the scenes, like the stuff that happened.
Right. It's a different world, man. And that's why I fight so hard for our game and to try to like to have you guys stop by and bullshit with us. That, like, for us to be able to show people that and see that not only are you human beings, but you have fun and you play the game for certain reasons. You are who you are online. You are who you are away from the field. But, man, like, to be able to do what you guys do on a day-in, day-out basis, you've got to be able to have fun. You've got to be able to let your hair down and talk some shit. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
that's the only thing that gets you through a season.
Well, you spend,
gonna, there's like, no winning team that ever didn't just talk... All 25 guys don't talk shit, you're not going to win.
Right, yeah. Right. And, and like the aspects of the clubhouse, the nuances of the clubhouse, the stuff that allows you guys to get through the season. A lot of folks, they want to believe they can understand it. They want to believe they know what that's like. And to an extent they do, but you can never really get a feel for it.
You'll never fully
know.
So
we can't ever have automated strikes then. Like, don't worry, I get just as mad when he doesn't call my strike as anybody else. Believe me, I'll lose my...
That is a fact.
I'll even have to talk myself like, dude, it's just one pitch. And I'm like so locked in. Like,
sure,
Sometimes I have to have Berto and Jan last year, I tell the umpire, no, he's cussing himself out.
Yeah.
So I like spike an 0-0 breaking ball when it should just be a get me over. I'm like, fuck!
Yeah.
And everyone's like, whoa,
hey, you should get
dirt! I'm like, oh, me.
Yes.
I want that. I think we need that umpires. I want that give and take, that human error, which we can still correct when it really matters. But yes.
I'm glad you brought that up because I have been such a staunch like get out of my face with the detail of replay and the way that we're utilizing it. If we can't, if you can't understand that the strike zone is going to vary quite literally. From man to man at the plate and man to man who's behind the plate, like over the course of a series, we're going to get 3 to 4 different strike zones because we'll have 3 to 4 different guys behind the plate.
Mm-hmm. I love that part of the game. I love figuring it out. I actually enjoy figuring that out. We talk about it all the time. Yeah. Like, hey, look, you're right. Stop getting pissed about not getting an inside fastball on the plate. He's giving you 2 inches off. Attack that shit.
Go there.
And then we'll just fucking sit there and just boom, boom,
so,
boom.
So, I mean, are you...
And then the hitter has to play that same game?
Absolutely. Back. I mean, that's like the talking that's going on, the hitter, how he's asking about the... You know, hey, is that as far as you're going to go out there? Where'd you have that? Because now when you're talking about, well, was that down? When you know it wasn't down... And you know it was, and you're like, well, I didn't have that fucking down. Well, now that, you know what, that hitter might be fucking himself a little. And you just keep going because your catcher's listening to that, and he's pumping down. That's all helping this whole, but that's a dance. That's
no
a
doubt.
Dance.
Baseball's like a drama. It plays out over 9 innings. It's slower. It's like, but you have to understand enough about it to understand the intricacies of it and to see all this different stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But can we talk about replay?
Absolutely.
It grinds my gears.
Yeah.
We're going to have replay. We're
going to
go check if this guy came off the second base bag sliding in by this much. We're going to spend 3 minutes deciding that we can't see enough to say anything. Then the average game time is 301 and not 259. And now we're going to implement a pitch clock. We're going to implement relievers can't be used this way. We're going to whatever. Like, why don't we just cap all replay at like 30 seconds or 45 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the manager has 10 seconds from the end of the play to say if he wants to replay it or not. Because that's other bullshit.
Oh, if we're being real about replay, them coming together, that's all for show because they don't do shit.
Right.
I talk to them.
Right.
Yeah. There's one guy in the headphones hearing from someone else to tell him the call. He's not looking at anything.
Yeah. Right.
And he's already made his call. Put an earpiece in his head, let him stay there and be like,
you're wrong. Okay, yeah, I'm wrong. He's out. I'm like, no, I'm right.
The teams will review it themselves for 45 seconds or a minute, and this 30-second time to call a replay never gets enforced. The umpire will walk over and say, hey, we need a decision. And, hey, hold on. All right, so we spend a minute doing that. Then we spend 30 seconds for the umpires to run, bring the headsets out, and all this different stuff. And then 2 minutes for New York to look it over. And, like, 4 minutes later, we have a decision that isn't a decision. It's just we can't tell.
Right.
Right? And now the game time's 4 minutes longer. Like, well, and that happens, like, at least once a game, if not more.
Well, no, I mean, I would actually go as far to say that's an advantage. I'd use that as an advantage for me. So if I'm on the mound and they have a long replay.
Catch your breather.
I already know that. No, well, I know that hitter, like, he just got to watch my arm slot. Boom.
Gotcha.
Say a play develops a steal. They have to look at it. Mm-hmm. Now it's 2-2, and he just had to sit there for 4 minutes. Now it's like, oh, I got you back. It's 0-2 to me.
Sure.
Like,
But you can do that. Say, like, that can still happen if you give, like, a strict 10-second. Like, do you see the play live? You want to review it or not? The player has to be honest and be like, I was safe, or no, don't review it, or whatever. You get 10 seconds, and then replay is capped at 30 seconds. And we can get this done in a minute. The hitter still has the mental thing. He steps out. You know, whatever, he has to get back in there and relock in the pit, whatever, right? Yeah. But then it's just a minute. It's like this quick thing.
It's
there's got to be like a time limit on like how long these things can go. If you don't have a decision in 2 minutes, like what are we looking at?
Have either of you been to New York and seen that office? So I've been there, and I've actually utilized their technology. They queued up a play and had me analyze it, and like treated me like I was the guy who was responsible for the call. So they're pumping in a shit ton of different feeds that we're not seeing at home, obviously, a shit ton of different angles that we're not seeing at home, angles that they're not even getting in the yard. And that's why I asked them, I said, so right off top, this is also why it's taking forever, because you're getting multiple angles, and they're like, yes, but this is the effort to get the call right. And then I hit them with, yes, but at the sake of what I think a lot of us are deeming the integrity of, what you just pointed out, holding a tag, because now it was about beating the man to the spot, and now it's about who's going to hold the tag, and that has shifted the dynamic.
Or you slide into home plate,
right?
But you can't, like, there's no raised platform
to
for
hit,
you to, like, hit your
to impact.
Mm-hmm. So now you're having to try to drag your cleat on the ground, and you risk, like, catching a cleat.
You catch a cleat blow an Achilles, because, or an ankle that's going to turn.
Right.
Or then you're going to have to start sliding head first and breaking your fingers.
Right.
What? See you later, shoulder. You get fucking jammed. You're wearing one of them guys.
If you slide and your foot's this far above the ground at the time you happen to go over the plate, like, anyone who's slid before knows, like, you can't really control. Like, once you hit the ground, you're like, your feet bounce, and it's like
your body moves.
You can't, like, fully control it.
Yeah, you try to sit, and you know if you stick your ankle down, that thing's
if you slide over the plate, and then the catcher, like, you beat him, you're by him, and he happens to tag you on the back as you're going by, but your foot hasn't fully come down and actually touched the plate, like, we're going to call you out? Like, that's a safety.
Big time. And my pet peeve with it all is, and this is such an egregious swing and miss on behalf of Major League Baseball here. If you are actually listening to the words you're using when you're saying that you want to grow the game, that you want to help people understand and learn and embrace the game, how about you put a fucking microphone on the umpire and let him know what he just heard from the assholes in New York, so he can teach everybody who's in-house watching the game what the fuck just happened. Everybody watching at home, they get a little knowledge as well. Take the load off my back. I'm doing all the heavy lifting for you, teaching these fine fans what the fuck's going on. You're right there. They bought a ticket. They're paying cable prices. Live streams probably too. Do something about it. Something.
That's a wrap.
Machado just went to the Padres.
That's a wrap.
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. I'll have to face my daddy. That's his dad. My ERA just went down a full run this year. That's freaking tight.
So I'm Machado's a friar. Did I not call that, Carrabas?
I mean, we've literally put him in every fucking uniform.
But I put him in the Padres uniform with Hosmer.
Yeah,
culture shift.
Your most recent prediction.
I wanted to be in the Sox just to watch him sweat every time he goes to the White Sox.
His numbers off me, he's like 10 for 12 with like 6
damage.
Four bomb, like three walls destroyed. I'm telling you, the actual number, he hit 712 off me, and he slugs over 2,000.
712?
Over 2,000?
He slugs over 2,000. Go look at the numbers.
It's aggressive.
And how he got him out the first 14 or something. Orioles, he gets him out the first AB, and Frankie comes in, he's like, hey, you finally did it. He's pumping himself up after the first inning, just got him out. Then he's like, don't worry, he's going to hit a home run at some point if I stay in the game. Next AB is like...
No, you got the key detail wrong. So I'm telling before this series, I got to go because we got a meeting soon. But this is the last thing. But so before the series, I'm like, oh, man, Machado, he is my dad. I can't get the guy out. Whatever, right? I call him the Holy Ghost because he's like not even, he's like past like Jesus.
He's sure,
like,
he's looking down.
Right? All right. So I'm like, before the series, I'm telling him, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to face my daddy, but this is the year. I'm going to get him this year. I'm determined. Like, he can't own me forever. I'm going to get him this year. I got it. I'm fully confident. So I'm like, I always throw him fastballs and he always hits them out. That's my secret. Like, I sent him a glove over to have him sign it 1 year and he signs it. Trevor, keep working hard, the sky's the limit, and keep throwing me heaters so I can keep getting hot, Manny Machado. Right? I'm like, dude, I got you. I know what you're looking for now. I'm throwing you all off-speed stuff, right? So he comes to the plate first time, curveball, strike one, curveball. He hits it like 2 miles an hour, a little dinker back to me, and I throw him out at first. I'm like, I won. I won the mental battle. I know what he's looking for. I got him. We're set. Right? So I go in the dugout, and Frankie's like, hey, you did it. You got him. Like, that's awesome. Like, you're just going to throw him all breaking balls all game? That's what you're going to do? I was like, no, I'm an idiot. Yeah. I'm going to throw him at least one hitter because the pride thing. He's probably going to hit it 500 feet, but that's just what's going to happen. So the next time he comes up to the plate, slider, like this far off the plate, ball, just like, doesn't move. Like, you know, it's auto take, right? Slider this far off the plate, doesn't move. Like, what is going on right now? Slider like this far off the plate, 3-0. He hasn't budged once. He hasn't attempted a swing, nothing. He hasn't loaded, not a single thing.
Just statue.
I'm like, he must just be taking until he gets a strike, right? So I was like, he's looking for something up, out, over that he can get extended on and crush. I'm going in. So I throw him a ball that's like on the black. It's like 95 in, and he just whack! And just hits a freaking missile, like just way gone to
first
center.
First time our whole dugout with someone else in a run was like, ah! Let's go!
And he hits it over my head, and I turn around, right? And Frankie is at shortstop, like this. Laughing, just pointing at me, slung over my face.
That is
so... like, what are you doing? Machado's just running around the bases, everyone. I look at the dugout, like,
my God.
I'm like, I don't know.
So demoralizing. Fucking knew it.
I threw him freaking one heater, like, remotely close to the strike zone.
That is great.
Into orbit.
That is fucking great. That is great. Yeah. Well, yeah, we don't take up your time, man.
Yeah, dude.
We appreciate you guys big time, man. Good shit. Awesome to meet you, brother.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Good to meet you, man.
That's phenomenal.
Thanks for having us in.
All right, so that was Mike Clevenger and Trevor Bauer of the Cleveland Indians. Again, we are live in Arizona. It's not live, but it is live. We're recording this in Arizona. So what were your main takeaways? Because there was a lot to sort of unpack there with what they were talking about. What were your main takeaways from that interview?
Their relationship that they have started to develop, and I don't know if it's a matter of starting to develop or that has developed, that is just now blossoming, but I understand how important friendly competition,
yeah,
and that competitive nature,
yeah,
that it breeds, and I know what that can do for guys, and I think you felt it immediately.
Oh yeah,
5 minutes into chopping it up with those dudes, you see how they play off each other, you see how they vibe with each other. It's no holds barred, no stone gets left unturned when they're, yep, giving each other shit, and that's somebody that can just hold another guy accountable. They can hold you responsible for your work on the field. They hold you responsible for your character off the field. You need guys like that.
You do need guys like that. I feel like, you know, a guy like Trevor Bauer, he is so... Again, that was just a small snippet of what... That was the tip of the iceberg to sort of take a deep dive into the brain of Trevor Bauer and how that operates. We will have to get him on again at some point. And the next time we do, I'd love to know that it's actually an interview.
Yeah, I think we could really get some quality information. Not that we didn't, but he's a guy with the numbers, and the pitch developing,
yeah,
the pitch design. Like I know yeah, that I could get the mind right, spend a couple hours at altitude with old T-Bow and really, really chop it up.
Yeah.
Go to visitarizona.com/springtraining.
Oh yeah.
That's how you find your way around the desert. We've talked about it. There's a ton of shit to do here. Today, Carrabas, you and I went to two different baseball games.
In the same day.
You want to know how that happens?
How'd that happen?
Visitingarizona.com/starting. That's how you get that in your life. Hot air balloon rides? Check. Paddle boards?
Yep.
Check. ATVs? Check. Baseball? Check.
We did some rock climbing, too, a little bit there.
We absolutely did.
Yeah.
Got crazy in the mountains. Crazy.
Wait, that place used to be a prison or something like that?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
Used to be a prison.
All right, I won't ask any more questions.
Military installation around there, kind of a need-to-know basis type thing.
Yeah.
What you need to know is visitarizona.com/springtraining is how you are going to find your way around the Cactus League. Mm-hmm. You want entertainment? You want food? You want music? You want art? All of the above? visitarizona.com/springtraining will dial you in.
Take it from a guy that has never done spring training in Arizona before. It's the way to go.
It really is. You talked about hiking. Arizona, this spot's got ridiculous landscapes, ridiculous hiking, really everything under the sun of the Paradise Valley that a baseball fan, that an adventurer could ask for, yearn for. And you make it happen by going to visitarizona.com/springtraining. One more time, that's visitarizona.com/springtraining to make the Cactus League trip of a lifetime real for you.
Obviously, Manny Machado, the biggest signing of the offseason thus far, not just the past week, not just since the last time that we recorded. Manny Machado to the Padres. But in another move, the Milwaukee Brewers bring back Moose.
Moose is loose.
Mike Moustakas is coming back to my Milwaukee Brewers. Love the move. Love everything about it. He meshed perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And this is almost like a blasphemous statement that I'm about to make. Do you know what I'm about to say?
No, I'm off. You've caught me off guard.
It's almost like he's always been there. That's how I feel. That's honestly how I feel. Mike Moustakas, a World Series champion with the Kansas City Royals, a guy that has the single-season home run record in Kansas City. He's been to the World Series twice with the Royals. He was drafted, developed by the Royals. I just feel like he's the perfect fit for that Brewers team, that their MO is strikeouts and homers.
You know why you feel that way?
Why?
It's because when we asked the boys from the crew,
yeah,
when we were banging around at Topgolf,
yep,
it was a consensus agreement. This dude is the man.
Yeah.
We were elated to hear that Moose was on the way back. And like you said, frankly, never left. It was just a matter of revisiting, right? Come on back.
Yeah, Mike Moustakas is it's a good fit. It's a good fit. It made the most sense. That's why I was happy to see the news. And now it's kind of like you don't bring back Jonathan Scope. You have Travis Shaw in the mix. You have Eric Thames in the mix. RC is in the mix, and then you bring back Mike Moustakas. It just makes sense.
Power on the corners.
Yeah.
Power on the corners.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus over at the one bag. You got Moose.
Ryan Braun getting some action in the infield.
Braun's going to get some love over there as well. That, I think, is what the Milwaukee Brewers identified, is we know what this kind of bat provides. Lefty power is something that is at a premium. You're going to need that.
Yeah.
You like to have that. You don't want to find yourself too left-handed, too right-handed.
Yep.
Moose provides that pop from the left side. Obviously, the defensive prowess as well. I absolutely love it. I love that Moose is a part of the culture, again, that I think the Milwaukee Brewers are creating. And I almost am tired of myself using that word, but I understand how much it means to these dudes when they're thinking about the free agency market and they're thinking about their careers moving forward, because that's something that we had the opportunity to really hear, I think, was how these guys are looking towards the future with free agency and the way that it has sort of caused turbulence here. They know, I think, more so now than ever, it's important to have those glue type guys.
Yeah.
And I think Moose is one of those dudes.
Are you surprised at all that after that 40 home run season that he had in his walk year,
yes,
he's still going year to year on 1 year deals?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because I think Moose is a guy who I believe, again, there's, you get breaded up and you're ready to go to work.
Yeah.
You're ready to bring that lunch pail and hard hat to work every day. And I think he's the type of dude that if he gets breaded up, chicken titties, he's ready to start banging the anvil.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't happened. So he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm blue collar, bro. I can roll up the sleeves and I can go to work year to year if that's what's going to have to be the case.
Yeah.
But I know what I know what I'm capable of.
Wait, what? Two shots. Dallas, what do you got? You a shot guy?
I mean, I will drink a shot.
What do you want?
They're going to button Jameson?
Jameson.
Unless you wanted something fruity. You want something fruity? Why don't you pick? No, no, no. You pick. What do you want? But what do you... Rumblemans. He's a Rumblemans guy. You know what? It's your world. It's your world. We will have the Rumblemans. We will have the Rumblemans. While you're at the bar, we're going to talk massive amounts of shit on you. We'll see you there. Yeah, no. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so he's going Rumblemans here.
That's fine. That is right. Win in Rome, you know.
You're a schnapps guy?
Not so much.
It's free. It's kind of how I'm going.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll take what I can get right now.
Yeah, because I think
on an empty stomach, I'll be a cheap date tonight.
As we wind down... we got to get ready for live ABs.
We do have to get ready for live ABs. It is very chilly here. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm still going to be throwing fucking 98 on the black. But, I mean, I am going to have to do a little bit, maybe some light jogging, some light jogs, maybe some shuttles.
Activate the glutes.
Yeah, going to have to do some shuttles out there. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It depends on how I feel once I start to throw, do a little bit of light toss. But, yeah, if you are going to spring training in Florida – the week of March 3rd through the 10th, you wait to see that RV because we're coming for that ass. We want you to step in that box. Take all the fucking practice that you need. Take all the steroids that you need. It's not going
to
matter.
It's a fantasy, Jared. It's a fantasy to go out to spring training.
It is a fantasy. And you know what else is a fantasy?
Tell me right now.
Yahoo Fantasy Baseball. Why don't we have a league?
We need to get on that. Yeah. I created one at ESPN. It was actually fairly successful amongst the broadcasting crew. Shouts to the four-letter crew. You're welcome for that idea.
Yeah.
My genius on hold. No big deal.
Who do you think would be the best fantasy baseball player at Barstool, not counting us?
Jay Hay, no question.
Not counting Jay Hay. No starting nine people.
Ooh, Hubs?
Yeah, I could see that.
He's a better.
I could see that.
He's a numbers guy.
I could see Schmitty lucking into one.
Yeah, I can't.
I could just because he may not know the league. Like when he said Wilson Ramos.
Wilson Ramos was the backup catcher. Yep.
Yeah, I could see him being dumb enough to luck into a championship. But pitchers and catchers have reported. Now it's your turn. Yahoo Fantasy Baseball Leagues are now open. The Yahoo Fantasy app is the number one mobile app in fantasy baseball and the official fantasy game of the MLB. Check out Yahoo Pro Leagues, public leagues where you play for cash. The best part is Yahoo handles all the money for you. No commissioner. Buy in for as little as $20 or as much as a grand. You can also join a public league for free or create your own league with your friends. Flex your skills as a real GM. Trust your instincts or use access to the advanced analytics. Download the Yahoo Fantasy app or sign up now at yahoo.com/fantasybaseball. Do not miss out on this monster baseball season. There has never been a better time to play. Once again, that is yahoo.com/fantasybaseball.
I can't wait.
Shots. What is this?
I gave you a choice.
Rumblemans.
Don't ask questions.
Bottoms up, boys.
Bottoms up.
That'll put some hair on your ass, Gravis.
Here's your phone back.
Cheers, boys.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Hospitality in Arizona is great.
It's been phenomenal. Again, shout out to all the boys who have helped make the Spikes Up Tour a possibility,
yeah,
a reality. I would be remiss if we didn't shout out Josh, our sound guy.
Yeah, Josh, the sound guy.
Much love to Josh, the sound guy.
Oh, yeah.
Rolled with us at Octane. Rolled with us at the VR spot. He was at the bar as well. It's good to see him wearing pants today.
Yeah.
Also, a shout out to Michael Loftus.
Yeah.
The freelance Lofty. Ace going to work
sounds
for
like,
us.
Sounds like Johnny Damon.
He does. Sounds like Johnny Damon.
Sounds like Johnny Damon. Hey, Lofty, come here for a second.
Looks homeless.
Lofty, come here.
Lofty,
for a
Lofty, we need you.
Yeah. Just, I haven't told you guys. All right, Lofty. Get his voice on record so that everyone can hear exactly.
Hey, Lofty, what are your thoughts on Arizona right now and the nightlife?
Well, Arizona right now is cold as balls. This is not what I was expecting. I'm so happy I didn't grab my Speedo, which I was looking forward to rocking. However, the nightlife, where we're at right now, Boondocks, there was a lot of talent, I gotta say. And I'm impressed with what Arizona has, despite the fact that, what, it's like 43 degrees?
True story.
It is very cold.
So, you know what? I'll take that.
I got to tell you, folks, Johnny Damon in the flesh. Johnny Damon.
Thanks, Johnny.
In the flesh.
Loved you in Fever Pitch, man. Greatest ass in the league. All right, well, let's wrap this up because when I know, Dallas, you're probably feeling the same thing that I'm feeling. When we started recording this podcast, it was sunny out and we were wearing our sunglasses. The sun has gone down, so it's dark out. We're still wearing our sunglasses, so we kind of look like douchebags. We should finish now, and that way we can get to the live ABs. Do you want to do your prediction for who's going to sign before the next podcast?
Who is – I got – yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to make that prediction.
Yeah, what is it?
I think Dallas Keuchel.
Fuck, that was mine.
I think Dallas Keuchel might find his way to San Francisco, not Bryce Harper. I'm going to say it. Dallas Keuchel might find his way to San Francisco and not back to Houston, not to Philly.
Wow.
Dallas Keuchel might find himself throwing sinkers in the bay, taking advantage of that big-ass yard out there. I don't know.
You know
be
what?
The Brew Crew.
I got Dallas Keuchel to Milwaukee. Yeah. Milwaukee. We need pitching in Milwaukee. So the Brewers, they got to go out and they got to go get Dallas Keuchel. Got any other thoughts, Dallas?
I'm ready to fucking crank.
Yeah, all right. So we got to get to drinking. We haven't really let our hair down yet this week. Been doing a lot of interviews. They're all coming your way. Trevor Bauer. And Clev on this one. We have Nolan Arenado.
Platinum
in
type
the tank.
Shit.
We have Matt Olson. We have Sean Manaya.
Ryan Dole.
Yes, we have Daniel Megden.
Yes.
We have Kyle Freeland. Who else do we get?
An ass load. Scooter Jeanette.
Scooter Jeanette was.
And Leo.
Yep, and Leo. And Kona.
Shouts to Kona and Benny as
and
well.
Benny. Yeah.
Freeland's their fur father.
Are we missing a player?
Probably.
Yeah, we probably are.
And there's no offense to them.
We got a shit ton of interviews this week.
You guys have just been
Evan
awesome.
Longoria.
Longo.
Walker Buehler.
Walker Max Buehler. Max Muncy. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, we did some fucking work out here in Arizona, and the Spikes Up Tour rolls on 2 weeks from now in Florida with more interviews coming your way. Subscribe to the YouTube channel that doesn't exist. Subscribe on iTunes, and we'll catch you next week.
Spikes Up.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.